All right, so guys, last time we were together, we looked at lesson 8, we looked at verses 1 to 6, and if you remember from that discussion, he starts off by talking about that his gospel, or our gospel, is not veiled to this world, but people don't understand it. Does anybody remember why? Why don't people understand the gospel in this world today? What's wrong with them? Okay, blinded. Is that what you're saying, Mike? Yeah, blind. They're blinded by the enemy, so they can't understand the gospel. And that will free you up if you think about you being a witness. If you're like, why don't they understand? What is it, me? No. They live in the world ruled by Satan, and he has blinded them because he doesn't want them to know the truth, right? Okay? He doesn't want them to know the truth. He's upset that you know the truth. Okay? So, what we want to talk today is the nature of Christ's ministers, or should we say servants. So he's going to talk about us today through his own life, okay? Through his own life. And so we're going to look at verses 7 through 18 today. So let's take a look at this. First of all, let's look at verse 7, and here's what he says. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. All right, so let's talk about what he's talking about. He's talking about a general principle here. So he's going to talk about a general principle. All right, so this is a general principle. He's going to talk about carriers of the treasure, okay? Carriers of the treasure. Anybody got a clue what kind of treasure he's talking about here? Anybody got a clue? Okay, yeah, the message of the gospel and the reality of the gospel that has been affected in your life. So, okay, so the first thing I want you to notice is mortal men have been entrusted with the message of the gospel. So God, in his great wisdom, decided to entrust the message of salvation through Jesus Christ to mortal men. Who's that? Yeah, us. Okay, so he decided to entrust that to you and I. Okay? You and I have been entrusted with that gospel. Now, again, what do you do with it? That's really the question, right? What do you do with it? As I'm sitting here thinking about this, I'm reminded, going over to Matthew chapter, 23, 24, 25, in there, the parable of the talents, about the master's going away and he entrusts each one of his servants with a certain number of talents. And then when he comes back, he'll see how they have done and reward them accordingly. It's the same kind of thing. We've been entrusted with the gospel. So the issue is, we're going to have to give an account one day about what we did with it, right? Did we sit on it? Did we bury it? Or did we share it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, now, here's the purpose. Verse 7 also tells us the purpose. The purpose of why we have been entrusted. Now, this is what blows my mind. So here's why God entrusted you with this message, okay? God is demonstrating his power in salvation using mortal men. So the fact that he would entrust that to you and I is demonstrating his power. That's kind of wild, isn't it? Now, all right, so tell me, let's go back again. Right before when I started, I mentioned about the God of this world has blinded people, but if you don't know that, and you're talking to people, and how they respond, and they don't respond to you, what's going through your mind when you're sharing and people don't respond to you? We've already talked about this before last time we gathered. You think it's your fault. You think you're not capable then. Okay? Or you don't know enough. You ever have thought that one? I don't know how to answer these questions, if there are questions and so forth. You feel inadequate, right? And you're like, why, Lord, are you using me? Well, Paul says he's entrusted this message to us because it shows God's power. Because we are inadequate. That's exactly right, Bruce. He wants to use the inadequate to show people his power. So let me explain something to you. So if you're thinking you're inadequate, that's a proper response. And if you have the opportunity to see somebody come to know Jesus because of your service, that's wonderful. But who gets the glory for that? Yeah, it should be God. Yes, God, as Bruce said, the Lord, right? Because was it you? Well, you shouldn't think it was you. It was because you were what? You're inadequate. You've got to understand that. So he's demonstrating his power in salvation by using mortal men. Now look at verses 8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. All right, so he's going to talk about the circumstances of his ministry. And maybe you could relate to what he's saying here. Okay, so he's talking about himself and the circumstances of his ministry. Okay, so first of all, he's going to express human weakness. Paul illustrates their weakness through the difficult circumstances that they face. So look at what he says there. We are afflicted in every way. Yeah, if you read the book of Acts and you see what it was like for him to go from one city to another, it wasn't a tour. It wasn't like a Caribbean tour that he was going to another port and having a great time. Do you understand? This is affliction. Some places he was almost killed. Afflicted, but what? In every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. All right, let's go on. So he had an divine enablement here. Paul demonstrates that God enables them in spite of their weakness. Enables them in spite of their weakness. So let's go through that again. Look at the enablement. So first of all, he says, again, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. God doesn't allow us to get crushed. Here it is. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. How are they not driven to despair? The Lord, okay. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Forsaken by who? The Lord, right? Okay. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. Yeah, you're not going to be destroyed if you're in the Lord. Do you understand? So you see there the circumstances of his ministry. Now, I can almost guarantee that we don't experience that right now for ourselves. Doesn't mean we can't. But Paul is expressing an extreme thing that was happening with him. And who's he looking to? The Lord. So again, he's going to restate that principle in verses 10 through 12. So look at what he's saying. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. That's pretty confusing. You think that's confusing what he's saying there? Okay, so let's talk about it, okay? So first of all, we're going to talk about the message of life, death and life. So first of all, the message they carry. Paul stated that they carry the message of Jesus' death. Isn't that our message? That Jesus Christ died on the cross, what? For our sins, right? And rose again on the third day so that we might have eternal life, right? That's our message. We carry the message of Christ's death. Now, here's the purpose. They carry the message in order to bring life to others. In order to bring life to others. All right, so let me just stop for a moment. Okay, let me ask you a few questions. Would you say that the world we live in now is completely different than it was 10 years ago? Would everybody agree with that? Okay. All right. How is it different? Okay, so every aspect of our life has changed in some way, okay? All right. So how are people responding to that?
Some are good, some are bad. Some doesn't like change, but some accept it.
All right, so some are okay with it, some aren't, some don't want to accept it, okay? Do you think there's a lot more despair in our world today?
Yes.
All right, Bruce says yes. Okay, all right. We'll hold that thought there. So you're not sure, okay? All right, but there has been a change since two time frames that there's been a definite change. 1995, 2007. What happened in 1995? Anybody know? Not a political thing. Don't think politics, but it definitely changed our world. Anybody got a clue? Access to the internet. Everybody somehow got access to the internet. Do you remember AOL? Mm-hmm. Everybody got an AOL address or some other? Okay, all right. Access to 2007 was the phenomenal year that definitely changed our society. Anybody know what happened in 2007? George W. Bush was still the president. Okay, so anybody got a clue? Wasn't Iraq, okay, or Afghanistan. It was actually several things that happened. Okay, would you like to know? Forever changed our society. Yes, social media, Facebook started in 2007 with certain things, okay? The introduction of the iPhone. Twitter started. So all of these things, Netflix started. 2007. You say, really? What does that? That changed everybody's viewing, right? Streaming now. Do you understand? A lot of changes happened in 2007, okay? And our culture changed. Now, the problem with it is social media now, whereas before, like I just had a conversation with a relative and he was saying, you know, when I was working, this was 30 years ago, he said, I never had any clue about what was going on. I said, you were busy working. You know what I'm saying? And the only, like I could think back to when in the 70s, the only news you got was the local news at 6 and then Walter Cronkite at 6:30. You know what I'm saying? And that was the news. And maybe you stayed up. My dad stayed up. I didn't. I had to go to bed at 11 to get the 11 o'clock news, right? And that was it. And what a big deal it was when CNN had news on cable, right? 24-hour news. Ted Turner. All right, now, what's going on? All of this information, social media turned out to be a positive thing, but also turned out to be a negative thing, right? It affected people mentally. Because when people make posts, do they post negative things on Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, negative things about themselves, though. No, they always posted, because at first with Facebook, it wasn't as much political. It was you posting pictures of you doing this and you doing that. And then you're like, oh, there's that guy I went to high school with. He's doing so good. Look at me.
A false reality.
A false reality, yes. And what has happened is in our culture, there's been an emergence of a quiet despair among people. And people sometimes get angry and they lash out about it. They don't like change because they're trying to adjust to the change that's already happened. And so we can look at it and say, oh, this is a terrible time. This is a terrible time. Is it? Is it really a terrible time? It might be if you look at it from a societal viewpoint, but from the church viewpoint, actually, I think we're in fertile ground.
It's still a terrible time.
Fertile
ground, yes. There's a lot more people that haven't heard the gospel since they took Bibles out of school.
Yes.
So it is fertile, I agree with that.
Yes, fertile time.
As far as liberality,
Yes, it is a terrible time, but the message of the gospel can stand out in this time where people have despair.
How many people are more interested in it now than were 10 years
ago? Yes, and that's right. And we as a church need to be careful, because too oftentimes in our society, what do they usually equate church with today in our society? Anybody got a clue? What'd you say, Rob? Okay, well, hypocrites. Forget that's been around forever. That's good. That's a good comment. But that's everybody's always thought that. But especially now, when they think about
conservatives, or politics.
Yes, political.
Because it's political, yeah.
Okay, they would say that the church has aligned itself with politics.
Yeah.
So, and then they would not even consider the church but here's what I'm saying. But if the church distinguishes itself from the political and has the message of the gospel, do you understand? That is an opportunity in this world of despair. Okay? Yeah, or it gets diluted. That's exactly right, Bruce. Yeah, and it can be diluted because we want to be relevant to everybody.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
And it's hard to distinguish, like, the difference, because, you know, you do feel a certain way about certain things because you're a believer.
Yes.
And you're a Christian.
Yes.
I mean, it's a given. Like, of course I'm going to think that because I'm a Christian, you know?
Yes. Yes. So, but then we also have to remember that we're dealing with a world of unbelievers, right?
Absolutely.
So if I had a chimpanzee in here, is the chimpanzee going to act like you and I?
Maybe sometimes.
But most of the time, he's going to act like a what?
A chimpanzee.
Okay. An unbeliever is going to act like what?
A chimpanzee.
No, I didn't say that, Lisa. Wow. Okay. Boy, I'm glad we're a small group here, okay? I'll edit that part out. No, just kidding. All right. An unbeliever is going to act like what? How does an unbeliever change his behavior? What was that, Tammy? He has to come to know Jesus. Yeah, now I can train the monkey to do whatever, right? But that doesn't change his nature. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes I think we want to impose a morality. Yeah, we're offended, yes. But I shouldn't expect them to come to that conclusion on their own, because they're at enmity with God. The God of this world has blinded them to the truth. Do you understand? So they need the gospel to change their thinking. All right, yeah, Lisa.
Well, I think that's the hardest part, is that, you know, you're talking, you're being with people that don't believe, and you're saying, like, how can you not see? Like, it is just really difficult to.
Yes.
I know why they don't see, but it's hard to understand why they can't see.
Yes, and we maybe even forget why they don't see.
Right.
Yeah, because we're used to like some of our morality was accepted 30 years ago. If we're older, we're like, what do you mean? This isn't no longer acceptable. It was 30 years ago or 40 years ago. Yeah, but if you talk to young people, they don't think the way we think.
Yeah.
You know? And by the way, your parents thought you didn't think the way they thought either.